I can do anything for love, but I won't do that. No.
I can't join in because I don't know the song.
What?
Yes, you do?
Yeah, no. Maybe the way you had to sing it.
I can do anything for love. I can do anything for love. I can do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Okay.
No?
No, I don't know.
Nothing?
No.
What? Wasn't that Meatloaf?
It's not. It's
was
not,
that Meatloaf?
It's not Rita Bell. It's not.
Who the fuck was it?
Okay. Welcome back to Enjoy the Podcast. I am your host, Jared Brady. I am joined with Lovely Los in the house. And I got Just JD in the house.
Just JD?
That's your Instagram.
No, it's Mr. Just Davis.
So there's Just in there.
Yeah, but we need to do something. Just JD's Gems, Warwick.
I don't know if I can give you JD's Gems, bro.
What?
I
got stripped of that.
It is Meatloaf.
Oh, you know what it is?
It is Meatloaf.
It is JD's Gems.
Thank
we'll
you.
Give you that. So right, I'll redo that. And I got JD's Gems next to me over here.
I don't like that one.
It's better than Lovely Los.
I'm not calling anybody JD's Gems or Lovely Los.
Have you guys
it
seen
it? It is kind of weird, bro.
All right, we'll come up with it. Maybe the people can't.
You are not allowed to come up with your own nickname.
I didn't.
You just
you
did.
No, Shay did.
You literally. Your wife's not allowed to come up with your nickname either. No, your wife's not allowed to because she's going to come up with one that you like.
All right, well, we'll work on it.
And don't even think about coming up here and being like, call me Gems. Like, I'm not doing that either.
I wouldn't have that accent.
Just letting you know now, before it pops into that head of yours.
Call me Gems.
Call me Gems because I drop them.
Gems with a J.
Jesus
I actually
Christ.
Could see that happening.
Not now.
I could see.
That was my preemptive strike.
I could see JD come up.
Okay. Can we take a poll?
My preemptive
here?
Strike right there. It's not happening.
Can we take a poll?
No.
Everyone watching and or listening.
Let's do this poll.
What should my nickname be? You got
shithead,
Mr. Enjoy Your Life,
Judgmental Justin.
We're gonna edit all this out.
Judge Justin.
JD's judges. No one knows me as Justin.
Judgmental J.
Okay, that's true. That's
judgy
true.
J.
Am I judgy? Am I judgmental?
No, you said you were in the last episode.
In one of the 15.
No, you said.
You want something to stick? There it is.
Oh my God. Anyways, can you guys come up with a better nickname, please?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you want to give us a toast?
No, I don't
judgy
even.
Judgy.
Toast us.
Fucking hell.
Toast us right now. Say something nice.
All right. We still, yeah, don't toast to that. We still want a show before the year's up. There's time.
We just want to check. That's all he means when he said, look,
what I mean.
Let me just clarify because I've gotten DMs about
I've
this.
I've gotten DMs too. Like,
I've
why
gotten
don't they,
zero.
Why don't they say
it
to
yeah,
him?
Why aren't they why saying nothing to you? Look, you say it to us. Why are you saying it to us? We're not the ones saying it.
Yeah.
He's the one saying it. Say it to him. Look, let me clarify.
Yeah,
when JD says, we want a show. We just want to check. That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with whether or not this is. We know this is a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying us, though.
Yeah.
That's
all. I want to check in a team,
yeah.
So we don't have to set
right.
all this
we
up.
We get all
yeah,
that.
Break
yeah,
down
yeah.
and edit. And
then when we do that, when we cross that line, you mm-hmm. know what's going to happen when we hit that threshold? You're going to sit in your trailer one day, and you're going to look out the window. It's going to be a rainy day. There's going to be a little bit of mist on the inside of your window of the
wow.
trailer.
You've really thought about this.
And you're going to do a little thing where you make the condensation roll down
yeah.
so you can see out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to think to yourself as you watch the people running around, scurrying about, doing whatever the fuck they're supposed to be doing, you're going to mm-hmm. say, I miss the good old days when it was just the
I
three of us.
I don't think he's going to say that.
I'm definitely not going to say that.
I don't think he's going to say
I
that.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else. Like I was going to write on the window with the condensation
fuck
saying,
you guys.
We did it.
Oh, no.
You're the one judgmental right now.
No.
I'm positive.
I'm just saying. I know. I'll have that moment.
Yeah.
I'll be like, who are these little
I miss the struggle.
I miss the struggle.
Yeah.
I miss the failure.
All right. Oh,
well, hold on. Let me toast. Good job, Los. He's on today. Yeah. All right. Well, look. We want a show / bag before the year's over. There is
yeah.
still time, people, if you know people. And
you got a deep checkbook, and you want parts of this action.
And someone said on our last episode, no, Shan, her feedback on our last episode was, I genuinely got the sense that I was watching Three Best Friends. Cheers to us, fellas.
Yes, yes.
Cheers.
Well, as I mentioned so eloquently earlier.
You did. It was very good.
College reading level Los.
Today we're talking about success. No, we're talking about failure. Today we are talking about failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had my fair share.
How did this come about, by the way?
What's that?
The topic.
The topic. Well, I was trying to think of.
You?
I did.
Jay.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to think of like how. For one, let me just like backtrack. So, I noticed every few months I go through a depression.
Wow.
And I don't know if I can clinically call it a depression, but I wake up sad.
In a little funk.
In a little funk. Mm. And what I noticed is that every few months I put out something musically.
So it's when you don't put out music, you fall into a funk?
No, when I do. Every time that I put out a project, a song, a video, any type of thing that is dealing with music, mm-hmm. I go through a small depression.
Why?
The one thing that I care about the most never performs at the level that I expect it to.
Yeah.
And so...
I can relate to that.
The flip of that is...
Who can relate?
I had to realize that...
L-U.
I have to get used to that feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This topic is something that I battle with and wrestle with every few months, like I was saying. So I guess let me just open it up to you guys. When you guys hear the word failure, what is something? What comes to your mind?
Man, my 20s.
Yeah, you're very specific.
Like I wasted my 20s. Really? And a lot, and probably up until like 33. Like I really didn't get my shit together until like 3-4 years ago.
Wow.
Like even still, I'm still figuring it out. But at this point, I'm actually going somewhere. I'm not just, you know, treading water or worse, you know, regressing as I was. But I mean, yeah, I wasted my fucking 20s, bro. Like complete waste.
I got some follow-up questions for you, Lo. So like when you say wasted your 20s, when you say you just got your shit together,
yeah,
that is per your subjective standard, right?
Correct.
There's a lot of people who'd be like, I would kill to have your 20s or kill to just, you know what I'm saying? Well,
I mean, I had fun. Did I enjoy my 20s? Yeah, like it wasn't like I was just, you know.
Yeah. But my point is like, do you guys agree that failure, like success, is subjective?
Yeah, but you have to know when you failed. I remember having this moment, and I'll get into it later on after we discuss it a little bit more when we start, sharing our personal experiences with failure. But I remember this one moment. I did a show, and I bombed. And there was very important people there.
What's your definition of bombed?
It was trash.
When was this?
It was when I opened up for James.
Oh, that show?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you bombed.
I bombed.
Bombed is a stretch.
I bombed.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't he wasn't terrible.
But in your definition.
And my definition, I bombed.
That's fair to say for you, but let's just for the record, I've seen people bomb. He didn't bomb.
Well, in my
world.
But
you didn't do well. I understand what you're saying. Your performance was not up to par for what you expect. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I would say that's fair.
Okay. And if there was a performance that I should have killed, it was that one.
Right. Yeah, you know when you failed. You know what I'm saying? But like, like, so for example, on this episode, let's say when we all get done, we rap, and you're like, damn, I failed that. And I was like, what are you talking about? You killed it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's subjective.
Yeah.
It is.
It is subjective, but you
to
also.
To an extent, though. Yeah. Like, there's a black and, or not a black, oh yeah, I guess there's a black and white area where
like
it's
if,
like,
if you were on stage,
failure,
Jay,
is,
and like you forgot your lyrics, and you're like, I bombed, I'd be like, yeah, you kind of did. You shouldn't
but,
forget
but
your lyrics.
No, but there is a moment to know that that was a failure of a show.
Yeah, for sure. But like, but look at when you said that, Los was like, I don't really know if I'd say, you know what I'm saying?
If it was a success, then I would have had the deal that was in there waiting for me.
Right. Oh.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think that show gets you signed. I think that show gets you in rooms, and I think that show gets people interested in you more, but that show doesn't give you a deal. Because the person who... James didn't walk away with the deal out of that,
but he didn't have people there who were considering signing you to go see you perform.
That's true, but still,
I had literally very specific people.
I don't think you walk away that night. I don't even think that's the direct reason you get a deal. I think that's the reason that you get in rooms and that the conversation actually continues and gets like serious. But that's not a sign him up right now.
Yeah,
unless you came out there and like you know just. put your dick on the table.
Right.
You know, nobody knew what to do with it.
Put your balls in the drum set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, unless you had done something where, you know, it was just undeniable, like, okay, I cannot afford to let this go by.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that making an excuse for it, for me, wouldn't have made me get better.
Mm-mm. Right.
And I think that the bottom line is that show was a failure because either the conversation didn't continue and I didn't get signed. So for me, and we could talk about this later, but I think in order to get over failure, you have to acknowledge when it is a failure.
Yeah.
And it sucks because everybody nowadays is so, you know, be careful what you tell yourself type of mentality. Nobody wants to beat themselves up. They want to keep encouraging themselves, which is not going to get you over that failure.
No, there's levels to it. Yeah. Right. So the first thing is you have to accept that you have to be aware that you failed and then accept that fact that you failed.
Yeah.
Right. But if you continue to dwell or focus on the fact that you failed, you're not going to improve. There's a saying that says what you focus on, you create more of.
Yeah.
So if you keep focusing on I failed, you're going to continue to fail because you're not grabbing the lesson.
But when I say keep focusing on that you failed, the number one thing, and I think there's four steps to getting over failure.
Let them know.
The first step to getting over a failure is taking on that blame. If you do not take, everybody wants to be like, make excuses. Well, the mic wasn't right. If we're talking about the show specifically.
Sure.
Oh, well, the sound check wasn't good.
Or, they were just hating on me.
You cannot just dwell on I failed and then feel sorry for yourself. You have to be like, I failed and why did I fail?
Right.
And then you have to go into the, like for me, for instance, for me, it was I didn't practice enough. I didn't prepare enough. I didn't do vocal lessons. I didn't do, you know, all the things that I needed to take care of so that I can guarantee that I would succeed.
Can I hit you with another JD's Gems?
Hit me with it.
Maybe I'll get my title back.
Yeah.
No. Still not getting it back. I don't care how good
you might get
is.
It back. Let me hear. Let me. I'll give him the benefit of doubt. Let's hear. Let's hear. See.
Thank you. On the topic of failure, failing to prepare.
Oh, God. That's not your gem.
Is preparing to fail.
See,
yeah,
haters in the building.
Yeah, I mean,
but my point is, like you said, you could have done a better job preparing.
Real.
I mean, that's Vince Lombardi. People know it's not me, but the point is,
you
is
said
that
it was gonna be you. Though.
No, it's a I registered
it.
Registered.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
that is real though. You are correct.
And so to your point of you know preparation or lack thereof.
Yeah,
the more you continue to fail to prepare, you're setting yourself up for ultimately failure.
Yeah,
right. You said your 20s, you said, were a waste in your words.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
Then you and
well,
yeah, go ahead.
I shouldn't say waste because that's one thing about failure is that it's only a failure if you don't get the lesson from it.
That's
right.
That's it.
Like, so I can't really say it was a waste because I learned a lot about myself in my 20s. But in that moment, I was wasting my talent. I was wasting my time, you know, but, you know. You got to do some waste, I guess, to appreciate the constructiveness.
Well, I was going to say, so you just said that up until recently, like you got your shit together.
Yeah.
So what did that look like and why did you make the choice to make the necessary changes? Or why did you be like, you know what? I wasted my 20s. I'm not going to waste my 30s kind of thing.
I think for me, I've had great role models in my life, but I've also had really shitty ones around. And I think the older I got, the more I started to see the similar paths and trajectories that I was on, that the burnouts that I knew in my life had basically walked down. And at some point, and I still, like, it's a constant thing in my head, but at some point I realized I don't want to be, I mean, I guess we always know I don't want to be like X, right?
Right.
But we're not necessarily consciously working towards that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's easy to say we don't want to be like something, but are you actually putting in the work? So I wasn't putting in the work for a long time. And around my, you know, 30s, 33, I'd say, that's when I realized, okay, it's time to actually put the work in. Because otherwise you will end up, you know, like X without a dollar to your name, scrounging up weed money type shit. So
Okay, so I have a question and I don't necessarily know the answer to this, but do you guys think as men that, you know, back to the whole men mature later kind of thing, right? So, like, to your point, Los, you said just up until a couple years ago in your 30s, you were like, you know what? It's time to get my shit together.
Yeah.
So, do you guys really believe that men truly don't get... I mean, Jay, this is perfect because you're not 30 yet.
No.
And you, for every intents and purpose, like, have your shit together.
Yeah.
Again, you're the anomaly.
But that was mainly because of a woman.
That's true.
And that's back to my point where men only change for women or money.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But wait, what's the question?
Well, you kind of answered
do we,
it.
Do we develop? Like, I mean, I think that's fair on average. I'd say, yeah, that seems pretty accurate to me.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially nowadays. I feel like I see a lot more like women getting after it than I do men. And maybe it's just because women put it out there more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me like I see a lot more young women who are on their shit, like, way more than when we, like, I just don't remember seeing so many women with so many businesses when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I did not see that. And so many, like, women entrepreneurs, like, I did not see that growing up at
all.
It
was a different time, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's dope because, like, you see a lot more, just, like, as, you know, from a market point of view, like, you see way more products that you normally wouldn't see. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I've bought things from, you know, small businesses that are owned by women and stuff like that. So I think that, yeah, I think we definitely mature slower. Mm-hmm. I think we're more, shit, in our 20s, we're just chasing our dicks, man.
Yeah.
Well, they're leading the way. That's
well,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. We're chasing that. Like, it's in control, man.
Yeah.
We're following where that thing goes. For the most part, there's exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah. Well, I think failure to me, I have two stances on it. One is it's a part of life. It is a major part of life. No one is perfect.
Yeah.
As Charles Barkley says, we're not experts, Ernie. Only God's an expert. If you watch Inside the NBA.
Ernie.
Anyways. And my second take on failure is it is right next to and goes hand in hand with success.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's
There's
talk about that.
There's no way you're going to be successful in life without failure.
Yeah. And why do you think that is?
So, in my opinion, it just comes down to, unless you fail, you don't know how to succeed because you don't know what ultimately really works.
Mm.
Unless you fail, fall on your ass, go broke, get kicked out of whatever, fired from your job, right? You don't know what works for you. Mm. So, in order, it's hand in hand. In order, a lot of people like really can't grasp that. And I was one of those people. I was like, nah, the perfectionist in me, I'm like, I'm not going to fail. I'm only going to succeed. And then I got into my 30s and I was like, shame on me. Because I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But you can't have one without the other. I don't know why I'm just going. Maybe because I'm offended by the JD Gems pullout. But I'm going to go with one more. And this is from Michael Jordan.
How about you just say the gems? Without, well, like, calling them out before
you
do it.
I mean,
like,
just
I'm about to drop a gem.
I used to, and then I got stripped from that title, so now I feel.
No, we're saying just say it.
Don't announce that. Don't announce that JD Gems about to make a
change. Hey, guys, get ready for this sick dance move I'm about to do.
Yeah, I got to say this.
Here it comes.
Every time you call it out, it just kind of, like, ruins
it. It cheapens the moment. Yeah, just let us take that in.
There's two things that you do that kill your gems. It's when you call them out, and then when you do this. And I'm going to say it again.
I haven't said that in a while. Save it to people in the back.
Yeah, I haven't said it in a while.
It
kills it. It kills it.
Okay.
Just fling them out there.
Here we go.
Just let them live, bro. Yeah.
Here we go.
Put them in the world and let the world do what they will with it.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Michael Jordan says, I failed so many times in my career.
Yeah.
And that's why I succeed.
Yeah.
I actually have that up in my office for that exact. It's like a reminder to me. Like, it's okay to fail. Not that I'm excited to fail, right? But I am excited to find the lesson as to why I failed and what now to do differently in order to avoid that failure again.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting though what you said, because it makes me think, you know, I wanted to kind of dissect that a little bit more because I never looked at failure that way.
Yeah.
The way I looked at failure, which actually kind of goes in line with what you're saying, I just never like called it out like they need to be together.
Yeah.
Because I look at failure as an opportunity to figure out where you misplaced or where you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying earlier, I think you have to take responsibility in that failure. Mm-hmm. And then once you take responsibility, then you can change it and mm-hmm. you can fix it. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you have to analyze your failure because not every failure is the same.
Right.
Sometimes you've taken on a task that is way too complex or way above where you are at.
Totally.
And those have to be acknowledged as well.
Yeah.
So you have to like receive all of the information on when you are failing. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to kind of dissect that is mm-hmm. if we kind of share stories of when we probably failed.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think a lot of that has to do with timing?
What do you mean by timing?
So you were saying something and I'm sorry, I kind of forgot, but it made me it like timing went off in my head and I was mm-hmm. like, I think that has to do with timing. So for example, like there's different kinds of failure. There's like a massive failure where like you yeah. end up getting divorced because
yeah.
you failed.
Yeah.
Or there's like a little hiccup in the road and I'll yeah. just take the detour. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that has to do with timing because of maturity.
Yeah.
So I guess I answered my. So timing and maturity, I think, has a lot to do with how you find. First of all, if you find the lesson
yeah,
right
yeah.
in the failure and then how you sit with that
yeah.
and how you change that to make sure you're better for the next experience,
go around, yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if timing, if just level of maturity, because a lot of people who instead of taking the blame and being like, I failed,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
pointing the finger, right? And they're blaming everyone else. They're blaming the sound guy. It's not my fault. Like,
yeah.
it's his fault, right?
Yeah.
And that's just, I think, immaturity.
Well, that's, you're making excuses.
I think a lot of people are afraid to succeed because... correct me if I'm wrong, at any point in time. I think they're afraid to succeed because a lot of people are scared off by what comes with success.
I don't know if people are afraid to succeed.
I don't think people understand what it takes to succeed.
Okay. Yeah. So, and that was my number yeah. two thing is yeah. like, I think a lot of people are so intimidated by the mountain, I'll use this metaphor, that they yeah. have to climb in order to succeed. They're like,
I think people are more afraid of failure than they are of success.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure, but I also think there's a level of...
because I think the people who say that, the people who say like, oh, they're just unhappy because they succeeded and they have all this money and they have all these things and they're still unhappy. I think people who say that are people who haven't tried, are people who haven't moved forward in their life. And
yeah.
so if I think more people are out there being like, I'm afraid to fail,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to use it as an excuse and say that I
yeah.
don't want to succeed.
Right.
And so I just think
yeah.
that's people who are mm-hmm. just so scared.
They're hiding behind a mask.
Yeah.
Right.
They're
masking their feelings and they're yeah. I
so
agree
I guess
with you.
The question off of that I want to ask everybody: why are people so afraid to fail?
That shit sucks.
It sucks.
I mean, that's the easy answer. Like, that shit is not fun. It doesn't fun to put
sucks.
Your effort into something and not have it turn out the way you want it to. That shit is trash.
It sucks.
You know what I think? I definitely agree with you guys. And I think a lot of people miss an important part before that failure actually comes to existence. They're afraid to ask for help. So let me break it down a little bit more. Just because you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you failed. It just means you're not alone.
Yeah.
But especially for men to have to ask for help.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, I got it. I'll do it.
Yeah,
you know, like,
time.
That's just kind of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And then my wife will be like, I'm here to help you. Like,
yeah.
I'm watching you struggle. And I'm like,
okay,
thank you for that friendly reminder. Can you help me with this? You
yeah.
need to delegate. And I think a lot of people could avoid some failures in life if they just delegate sometimes,
yeah.
if they ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard, man. It's just
yeah.
going to be harder, though, if you go at it alone.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
it's impossible.
And I only say that from personal experiences. Like, I definitely was one of those people who I couldn't ask for help. I didn't know how. My pride, my ego was too big. And I realized that now as I'm older, like, damn, I could have avoided. Everything happens for a reason. But I'm like, I could have avoided a lot of bullshit if I just would have asked for help.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. You know, asking for help can
alleviate some of the failures.
I got a simple one for that.
Mm. Los's gems?
No, Los's story time with Los.
Oh, get it.
Is it time when you failed?
Oh, yeah. Miserably. But it wasn't like, well, no, it was a terrible failure. So it was my first car, and I was working at a car dealership. And I was working as a porter. I was washing cars. And had my car in the back. I wanted to give a wanted to give it an oil change, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of just asking my big homie Tony was like, you know, he's like 50 years old. He's been turning wrenches for fucking ever. Because Tony comes up to me, he goes, "Hey, you want some help?" I was like, "Nah, I got it. Can you just put it up on the rack for me?" He's like, "Yeah." So he puts it up on the rack and he walks off. And I've never changed oil in my life, so I think I know what I'm doing. And I don't take the drain plug out.
Yeah,
I take the filter off, but I don't remove the drain plug. So if you don't know about, you know, changing your oil, you can take the filter off, but you have to remove the drain plug to actually, like, drain the oil. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the drain plug. Mm-hmm. So I don't drain all the oil. I drain whatever was in the filter, which is probably like a 16th of the oil in your car.
Yeah.
And then I go ahead and I put new oil into my car. So now I have the old oil and the new oil, and I fuck up my engine within 2-3 days. And basically had to get rid of the car.
And Tony would have
And if I just asked Tony, like, if I just accepted the help and been like, "Yeah, you know what? Actually, now that I'm here, mm-hmm. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Help
do you
me
mind
out.
Helping me out?"
So yeah. Why didn't you ask for help?
Because I'm a man.
Pride and ego.
Bro, it's an oil change. I'm a man. This is my first car.
Pride and ego. But this is your first oil change with your first car.
Hey, but I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. I'm a man. I got a
dick. You can't learn on the fly.
I got a dick, bro. I know this. Came with the penis.
So I'll share a little bit more personal story. Hopefully I don't get too
that
emotional.
Was personal.
Because I think at the end of the day, like, no offense to your story at
you,
all.
You and Tony, you weren't that personal.
It was a very personal
no
story,
offense,
Jared.
No offense to your story,
it was
but
hard
I think
to admit.
No offense to your story. I don't mean to offend it.
It's a little
bubblegum
compared to what you want.
It's too late.
Well, not even that. I just think, like, when people see the title of failure, they're going to want us to share some intimate times.
Oh, let's talk about it.
Some intimate, hurtful.
Well, Los already did.
That was mine, but no. we can peel back the onions, but go ahead. Peel back the layers.
You know, I think, all right.
Let's get
so
deep.
I view my music career as a failure.
Today?
Today.
Even after VVS
I had
just,
a feeling
just
you were
dropped.
Say that today.
After VVS.
I had a feeling.
After VBS.
That makes me sad, man.
It makes me sad too.
Makes me sad three.
It makes me it does make me sad. I get kind of emotional about it. I don't cry very often.
You're gonna cry now?
I may.
Yeah, why are you smiling? Why'd you just get excited?
I don't know.
Are you gonna cry now? Are you gonna cry?
No.
Should I record? Can I post this?
I actually.
Hey everybody, Jared's a bitch. He's crying.
I had like two emotions.
Jeez.
One, I was like, "Oh shit," and then two, I was like, "Do you want to cut? Like, are
no,
you sure
no.
you gonna be all right?"
No, what I was gonna say is that I don't cry often, but I cry often over music.
Got it.
Me and Los actually worked on a short film. Yeah, we worked.
Enjoy
the disco.
Yeah.
We worked on the short film. We worked on it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I put money into it. Mm-hmm. I invested into it. I recorded an entire album for it. I literally put my heart and soul into this thing. It was
literal blood, sweat, and tears.
In my opinion, the greatest thing that I've ever done. And it performed lower than anything that I've ever put out.
Mm.
Anything that I've ever put out.
Yeah.
And when people say, I see it all the time, like, don't worry about the numbers. Don't worry about this. But at the end of the day, what I was saying earlier about failure, you have to know when you failed. You have to know when you failed.
Do you think you only failed with the film because of the numbers?
It was a success in execution as far as recording it.
Yeah, it was a creative success.
But it was not a success on the grand scheme.
I would say it was a creative success, but it wasn't a commercial success, is how I would put it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree, and I would say that was
but
a moment.
That, that would make it an overall failure.
See, I had to come to terms with this as well, because I had, actually it was around the same time that you and I had that call, when you had told me about this. So to me, I had to kind of put it in perspective, like, yeah, it didn't do the numbers we wanted. But we proved that we could do something different, something that we hadn't done before.
Yeah.
And something that, to me, I feel like if you're around us, if you see what we've done, like, you have to raise your standards now. You mm-hmm. can't keep coming with the same bullshit, because there's no excuse at this point. You've seen what you can do
yeah.
with a little bit of money and a little bit of, like, you know, can-do attitude.
Yeah.
Like, you can hit different levels of quality that, you know, people probably don't think you can get. Because looking at that, people probably think you spent, you know, 50, 60, maybe, you know, yeah. a lot of money. It didn't, I'm not going to say how much it was, but it wasn't, it got done for way cheaper than what it should have got done for.
Yeah.
Way cheaper.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I feel like, you know, even when I showed my boys, like I showed my guy Bruno. Bruno works with, you know, Bia, Jazz Cartier, Lil Rich, who's a crazy producer, you know, he knows his shit.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, anybody that's seen it, you can't deny the quality.
Yeah.
So that's why I say creatively, it was a success. Commercially, it did not do what it was supposed to do. It was a failure commercially.
Yeah. See, it's wild to me because I watched it with Che.
Yeah.
And I put you on the big screen, turn off all the lights, had the surround sound on. I was like, this is movie night. I was so blown away by the quality of that film that it almost came across as like a TV show. Yeah. And I remember when it ended, me and Shay were like looking for the next, you know, Netflix, the next episode's in 5, 4, 3, 2. I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, and I hit you with that voice note. Yeah, and I was like, dog, look, man.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of talented people. You took the top of that list as far as the most creative people that I personally know.
Yeah.
And I said, no one is doing what you're doing. Besides Beyonce, who had a visual album, a visual component to her album, and like on some Michael Jackson, like Chris Brown, like you can act, you can sing.
So let me tell you, that is why the failure hurts so bad.
Because
I am aware of all those facts.
Yeah.
I am aware of all of those things.
Yeah.
And it did not do what it was supposed to do. So let me keep pushing it forward. Mm-hmm. So that happened. I woke up, tears, bro, done. Like, what am I doing wrong?
The next day after the premiere.
Yeah. Now, that's not the only time that has happened. That's why I say I feel like a music for me is a failure. Mm-hmm. Because every opportunity that comes around, mm-hmm. every time I see a light at the end of the tunnel, every time I feel like this is going to be the moment, mm-hmm. it ends up being just like a reminder that like, no, Jared, this is all on you. The industry is not going to help you. The people around you are not going to help you. Mm-hmm. No offense, Los, you help me where you can, but
I can't make you a household name.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying. Yeah, so like,
no, I understand what you're saying.
So mm-hmm. so this grind and this hustle is all on you, and that shit gets exhausting, especially every time that you put something out.
Yeah.
Every time that you put something out, you have these expectations of it performing. You have these expectations of people showing up for you, mm-hmm. and they don't show up. Mm-hmm. They don't show up.
Well, I think you have to find the lesson, and you sounds like you have. You found the lesson of I can only bet on myself.
Yeah.
I can only count on myself and my closest people, as you mentioned. So moving forward, now that you have those lessons that are ingrained inside of you, you're like, now I know the next time I put out a song, I'm going to do it exactly this way because every other way has failed.
Yeah.
You continue to fail, in your words, with your music.
Yeah.
That's why you will succeed.
Yeah.
Because the more failure, you're going to get to the last fail. I mean, you're going to fail always, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you're going to get to the last quote unquote monumental fail where it affects you. It prohibits you to become successful. When you hit that last failure, you're going to be like, I got it now.
I don't think it's a situation of hitting the last failure. I think what it is just going to have to go back to that original statement of like having the self-awareness to be able to figure out where you're going wrong. How am I to blame in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me in my music, I think where I am to blame is that I put my resources in the creative process. Not in the outreach.
Got it.
So I'm
so
putting.
So there's the lesson.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No. And I'm not saying that you. I'm saying what you're saying is that you have to figure out the lesson.
Yeah.
But I think that if I'm going to be a case study for everybody who is out there, like, I'm literally in the midst of failure. Mm-hmm. I'm literally in the swimming pool of failure. Mm-hmm. And what I am diagnosing from my situation is that, like, I have a terrible, I'm an artist. I'm a creative. I'm not a marketer. And that's my downfall.
How many artists are marketing experts?
The artists that are popping today, mm-hmm, are marketing experts.
Or they have a team.
Or they have a team. But at the end of the day, here's what I've been learning. I am in a very, very fortunate position that music doesn't have to work for me.
I was just going to say, like, I didn't want to cut you off, but here's the thing. And I know you're a grateful person. You're, yeah, a very humble person. You're a very modest person. It's hard for me to sit here with you.
Yeah.
It's not that I have sympathy for you or empathy for you, because, yeah, I do, because, yeah, it's your passion, and I, yeah, can clearly see that. So I'm, yeah, not one here to argue with your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're very hard on yourself, but it takes one to know one.
Yeah.
I'm my hardest critic, so I get, yeah, you. I respect that. But you just bought a beautiful home.
Of course, no. And those aspects are amazing.
You just brought in the best gift you'll ever receive, yeah, unless you have more kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No offense to the other kids.
I still got my money on I'm black.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And a beautiful marriage.
Yeah.
And you have amazing people. Like, around, dog, the baby, you, shower,
yeah,
was lit, man. Like, yeah, you have some real quality,
yeah,
over quantity people in,
yeah,
your life.
Yeah.
So all of that being said, I feel you on, but this is my passion. Mm. The only thing I think is, like, again, what you focus on, you create more of. Focus on what to be grateful for.
Well, here's the thing.
Because you're going to have more. Because you're going to have more to be grateful for.
But not to cut you off. I think the misconception is that I am not grateful for what I have. I think the misconception is. I think a lot of people go wrong with depression. A lot of people go wrong with sadness. They think that if because you're sad and because you're depressed, you can't appreciate. Mm. And I don't agree with that statement. If you think of me, 9 times out of 10, you think of me smiling, right?
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
But that does not take away from the pain of, you got to realize, my entire life has shifted, you know, from when I figured out that I fell in love with music. My entire life was shifting towards trying to make that that goal.
Yeah.
Everything that I did, every decision that I made, everything that I studied, everything that I did was trying to get into this industry. Mm-hmm. And that's a type of pain that will never go away. And
sure,
I can't say that anybody else is going to relate to this. Only people who are trying to do music.
Would success erase that pain?
In success in music?
Yeah.
I'm sure it would. Well, yeah, it would erase that pain.
Because that's what's not there. That's what's missing.
But
that
feeling
could
come back.
Of course.
Let's say, for example, you put out 3 albums.
Yeah.
And the first two are just hitters.
And then the third one sucks.
Billboards. And the third one sucks. You're going to be right back.
Of course.
That's what my point is. So do you think success is going to just wipe that away? Or do you think it's a consistent effort mentally,
yeah,
and what you feed yourself internally,
yeah, yeah,
your thoughts,
yeah,
that will help you consider these as not failures but lessons?
See, I think a line that I said earlier is something that you're not latching onto.
Okay, which is what?
That I have to be okay with the feeling
of failure.
Of failure with music.
Okay.
Because if I'm not okay with it, mm-hmm, then it's going to run my entire life.
100%. So what was your feeling when I said the Michael Jordan quote? I failed so many times, that's why I succeed.
That's me.
But you keep saying you haven't been successful in your music career.
But those are still true.
So my point is like, you need to continue to fail as you think you are. Right?
I think the issue that we're having is you're trying to tell me that I have to continue to fail without acknowledging. No, but you're saying that, like, the success is not going to take away that feeling. This is not going to take away that. I'm literally saying that I have to be okay with the feeling of failure.
Yeah.
Teach me, it's like, I think there's a disconnect there, because it's like you're taking that phrase and then changing the words and then delivering it to me like I'm missing it.
Los, mediate.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you know what I, do you know what I'm saying?
No, I think if I'm if let's make sure I'm
no,
I'm actually understanding
it.
Both of you right now. Yeah. Jared's saying basically I understand that I'm successful in other aspects of life, but in music I've been in my way a failure. And it sounds to me like JD's saying, but you're not a failure.
Is that what you're saying?
But
No. Kind of. Yeah, there's a lot of things you're very successful at, but right now specifically, we are only talking about music.
Yeah.
I mentioned the other assets in your life.
Yeah.
Just to remind you.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to focus your attention on, but right now we're talking about music, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Specifically speaking with music, I'm going to use that Michael Jordan quote.
Yeah.
I think you have to continue to fail in order to succeed.
Yeah.
Don't let the failure be to your detriment. Let it be as a motivating factor. Like, all right, VVS wasn't it. The way I thought it was, the way Old Boy was supposed to show up, way these record deals supposed to show up. You know what? Not F them. Just take your notes. Cool, bet. I'm going to add it to the list, and I'm going to keep it moving. Yep. Let it be a motivating factor.
Yeah.
So that way when you do succeed, it feels different.
Of course, yeah.
You earn that shit. That wasn't given to you.
Exactly. There's
a lot of people out here, success, again, very subjective, but success is given to them, handed to them.
Yeah.
They can't appreciate it. That's
why they
lose it so quick.
Yeah.
When you get success, not if, when you get success in your musical career, that will be something you cherish probably maybe more than anything
in your
life.
Yeah.
In order for you, in my opinion, to succeed in music,
mm-hmm.
who the hell am I?
Yeah.
But here we are talking.
Yeah.
You have to fail.
Yeah.
Accept the failure.
Yeah.
Find the lesson and keep it moving.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying.
And I think that's what I'm saying is that like when the reason it frustrates me when you say that, I literally am saying what you were saying.
Just in a different way.
Not in a different way at all. It was just in the same way. So when you say what you need to do.
But you just said, I don't think you heard what I said.
That's what I'm saying. Because when you say what you need to do is this.
Okay,
you need to stop looking at your failure as this.
And
you need to stop doing this. And I'm like, I just said that.
Copy that.
You get what I'm saying?
I got you now. And here it is. Full circle right now.
Yeah.
This is one of... if not the main thing that I am working on in my life is exactly this.
Yeah.
I have a very interesting way of retaining and processing information.
Yeah.
I have a very difficult time doing it if it's someone other than myself.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, I appreciate the whatever this is, criticism or JD, wake the fuck up, like whatever it is,
not even.
I'm here for it because this is like I'm seriously wholeheartedly trying to work on this.
Yeah.
And I see it in my marriage.
Yeah.
I see it in the way I father.
I don't want you to, because I appreciate when you dissect it, but I just wanted to make it very clear that like I am on that page.
Bet.
Me saying, all right, I'm not taking my emotion and my drive with music in the right direction. I'm putting...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It all in the creative and not in the marketing. That's me being able to look at the failure objectively and saying, where did I go wrong with this? Yeah. Instead of saying, these people didn't show up for me. Mm-hmm. This person didn't show up for me. Instead of doing that, being like, you know what? How about we stop looking for favors and start looking for, let's take away the money for the budget of the music video and start putting that money towards marketing.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So those type of decisions are so hard to get to, especially when it's about something like music that is so important to me. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe how important music is to me, like realistically how important it is. I could just be very passionate about this because this is a very sensitive
topic. Well, but I will say this.
Yeah.
You are a little bit sensitive about this. And I know that as soon as JD said what you need to do, you stiffened up.
Yeah.
You were out already like that. You were gone. Like you didn't really want to hear it. Unless it was like super friendly and was actually like a Oh, wow, I should have done that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was just going to be like, I'm not hearing you right
yeah.
now. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, y'all basically just went in circles for 15 minutes.
Well, it's really going to be 5 minutes for the edit. But
yeah.
But it's good because you guys just have, you know, some shit out.
Yeah.
That was good.
And again, I promise you, like, my only intention was to help. And that's that's
and I know that.
In
yeah.
me.
I think what happened here. To be fair to both of you.
I can't yeah. wait to watch this back.
This is what just happened. Jared came through to share something. And I think a part of JD, and this is just your personality, this mm-hmm. is, you know, God bless you. Mm-hmm. It's a double-edged sword for you.
Yes.
You always want to immediately try to solve somebody's problem.
Totally.
So at that point, you don't listen with you don't really have the empathetic ear that
yep.
Jared needs you to have in that moment.
Right.
Instead, what you had was you tried to go into like psychiatrist mode on him, where
you were thinking,
okay, how can I solve this problem for you? Instead of just hearing what your friend was saying and, you know, mm-hmm. taking that in. So,
yeah.
Like, you have to be able to deal with that failure when you have a product that you think is going to take you somewhere and it doesn't. And you have to, like, you can't let that discourage. You just have to eat that up and be like, you know what, the next one is going to be it. That, at least creatively with art.
Yeah.
And it sucks because you really have to have a stupid mentality mm-hmm. in order to succeed with that. Because, shit, I mean, look at almost any great artist. Like, there's a lot of artists that come and go. But the ones that actually stay and, like, you know, have a lasting impact, it takes them years to break through, man. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it
hurts.
My analytical brain is like, and I think the thing that fucks me up is because I've been successful in other areas of my life.
Yeah.
And the reason why I've been successful in other areas of my life is because I'm not emotionally tied to it. So when it fails, I can objectively look at it and say, what went wrong?
Yep.
What did I do wrong?
I'm going to be honest. I feel like we failed tonight at this episode.
I think we did great.
Speaking of failure,
why do you think we failed?
Yeah, I've just been trying to figure out, as I'm sure we all have, who our audience is and what we should be delivering on a weekly basis.
Mm.
And I'm not saying they don't want to hear about failure. Like, you know, we can talk about it, but I just... You know, to all these points, you and I keep going back and forth. Like, we could be better. We could be doing better. And I know, Los, you can agree. Is like, I think what may be missing is we're missing the audience. We really need to get more connected as to what they want to hear, what they want to see. And again, on a weekly basis, for us to count on them every single week.
And you think failure is not what they would want to hear?
I mean, I don't think it's like, girl, you got to go check out, you know, this podcast called Enjoy the Podcast. These three guys are on there. Oh, cool. What are they talking about? Failure. But they really get into some other stuff.
You want to know what I think that you're wrong?
Sure.
I think where we failed was not the topic. I think where we failed is we didn't get personal.
Yeah.
I got personal. But yeah. I don't think that you shared a failure story mm-hmm. that was real. Mm-hmm. To you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think you shared a fair story that was real to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it was a issue of the topic. I think it's an mm-hmm. issue. What women want to see, they want to see vulnerability. They
yeah.
want to see authentic. Mm-hmm. They want to know why you succeeded in it.
Yeah.
How did you get over it? Or
sure.
are you going through it right now? Mm-hmm. That is what is going to make it successful. I don't think that the topic failure was the failure.
I agree with you. We went about it the wrong way.
On a different note, I'd say one thing that I can definitely... Something that, like, to this day fucking haunts me. And it's a constant fucking thing. And it's something that I've toyed with, but I won't do it at this point. And I think I'm too old to do it. Pretty sure this was my last year that I could have done it. So after I got out of college, my freshman year, I was like, man, fuck this shit. I'm over it. I went and I enlisted in the Marines. 2 months in, I got pneumonia. Within a week, they had shipped me off the island. I ended up having a surgery at a Walter Reed for my chest. But I didn't finish boot camp. And that's something that to this day...
Is that what the scar is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To this day, that shit... Like, every time I see a commercial for the Marines, I get this
little choked up?
Not choked up, but I get angry, bro. Like, yeah. I get a little pissed off, and I'm just like, man, what the fuck? Like,
wow.
It bothers me to my core. Because that's one thing that... I was like, man, I was killing it. I was like, I was doing so well. I was, everything was great. I was squad leader from the day that I got there to the day that they put me on bed rest, which is very rare for you to be able to hold a position. Like, you're designed to fail. Like, they change squad leaders like shoes. I was doing well. And then for me to just get sick, and then within, you know, a week, I'd say, from the time that I started to get sick, or to the time that I was showing signs of being sick, I guess, to the time that I was on bed rest, like, it was just like, you know.
Do you think that that experience is that experience with that heartbreak is what kept you from reenlisting? Or do you think just kind of
Actually, what happened was I got out and I started being a fucking dumbass. Like, I really started trying to push a line and just get caught up. I got caught up in shit that I had no business being involved in. Like, just complete, like I said earlier, waste of my 20s, basically. You know what I mean? Like, I really just, I should have rehabbed and went right back if that's what I wanted to do, which is what I thought I wanted to do. But instead, I just got caught up in street shit and decided to chase that instead.
Damn, that's heavy.
Yeah, and so that's something that to this day, bro, if I see, like,
Marine shit.
If I see Marine commercials, like, even when, like, shout out to my guy Southside Diddy, when I found out he was a Marine, I liked him more because of that. Like, I have a huge soft spot for the Marine Corps. No matter what somebody's political feelings or whatever you may feel, I don't even really fuck with the military at this point, but that...
Yeah, that
particular branch, like, I'll always have a soft spot for.
That's interesting.
How do you think that affected you throughout other aspects of your life?
Ooh, that's a
the
great
time
question.
In boot camp or the failure?
The failure and then thereafter. Does it obviously carry, it's a heavy weight you carry with you.
I mean, it's something that I have not let go for sure.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like something you haven't really processed. Yeah.
And it may, well, I mean, I've processed it, but to your point, there may have been, part of me may have always been like, I'm not going back. Like, what if, you know, something happens again? I don't want to deal with that shit again. Because the shit sucks. It's not fun. Like, it's like fun to look back on, but it's not fun when you're in it. And so I'm not sure. I don't think, honestly, no, I can't. I don't really think that was it. I could see that being a thing, but I think more than anything for me, it was that after I got, you know, after I recovered and all that, my mind was just changed. Like, I'd gone, like, stupid, for lack of a better term. Like, I just...
Yeah, and I think the failure had played a part in that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no, because my mindset at that point, I was very fragile mentally. Like, I wasn't, you know, when I was in boot camp, I was, you know, fucking sharp. But then to all of a sudden...
Get that pulled underneath you.
Just, like, I failed. Right, like, to just have that happen within a, you know, 2 weeks almost, like, to go from
riding,
like,
high,
man, I'm about to be a fucking killer, to all of a sudden, well, I'm back at my mom's now.
Yeah.
So again, how has that affected you, like long term for your life? Because first of all, how long ago was that?
Well, I mean, that was
right after college, right?
No, that was 2004.
So 17, long time ago, 16, 17 years later, it has an impact on you still.
Yeah, I mean, it still, like I said, it still bothers me because it's something that I didn't finish.
Right.
It's unfinished business to me. And not only that, but because of the way I chose to live my life following that, I didn't give myself a chance to finish the business. And I don't know that I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because to be fair, like, I, up until, like I said, 33, my mind was, I was just wasting my talent. And the thought of reenlisting at that point, like, that never even crossed my mind.
Yeah.
At that point in my life, I was just like, you know, I'm going to sell as much dope as I can, pretty much. So, like, so that was never a thought. I will say this, I benefited from my time tremendously. The time that I was in there gave me a lot of tools and a lot of the, I'd say all my positive work habits are from
the military,
the the brief time that I spent on Paris Island.
That's so interesting, because it's like I think that is that story alone can show how failure can bleed over into, like, the rest of your life.
Absolutely, because I did not fix, not even so much fix, right? Because it wasn't something that
You got ill.
I got ill, but. I didn't take care of myself after the failure. I didn't recognize why I failed. And instead, what I did was, I didn't recognize that, hey, you got sick. That's okay. You can recover from that. That's not, like, that's not a shortcoming on you as a person.
Yeah.
And instead, I took me being sick as, like,
I failed.
I failed. Yeah. And it let my mind, because my mind wasn't strong at that moment. You know, I just had this, you know, surgery, and I'm just all laid up, fucked up, drugged up out of my mind.
I just switched.
Yeah, it was real easy to give up and to just be like, well, you know, let me just go find any old job anywhere I can. And that's, you know, that was not going to leave me satisfied, which made it really, really easy for me to go find excitement somewhere else, because I was working, I was at a fucking car dealership.
You're like, trying to figure it out.
I was taking college classes and working at a car dealership washing cars.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? Like, this is boring as fuck. And so I started trying to find excitement in other areas, anywhere I could. And yeah, for me, it was always the streets. Like, that shit, it was more so excitement than it even was making money.
Yeah,
because I was spending money as fast as I made. I didn't save shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it definitely bled over, and it's not an excuse. Like, I can't be like, oh well, because of this, like, you know, I could have fucking graduated boot camp and turned into an alcoholic. Like, yeah, I could have been the worst person in the Marines, just like I was outside the Marines. But it definitely bled over into other arenas of my life, and I did not fix that. I let it just wash over me, and I didn't try to address and understand why I failed, so I could move on and repair and do better. And as a result, I cost myself, you know, years, you know, probably 13 years of my life.
Yeah.
Because I was caught up in bullshit at that point.
That explains a lot to me.
Maybe.
To me. It explains a lot more. Like, it makes me understand you a lot more.
Huh.
So you never heard that story?
No, that was the first time I ever heard that.
Most people don't really know.
That's the first time
A lot of people know that I was, like, briefly in the Marines and that I had, like, a medical thing, but they've never heard.
Well, the only thing that I've known about you but Marines was that you were, like, a military rat. That was the only thing.
Military brat.
Brat, sorry.
Yeah, not rat. Military rat, like, yo. 6'9". the Army's version of 6'9" over here. Like,
Brat. But you know what I'm saying.
He's the one that did it, no.
You know what I'm saying.
No,
I didn't know that you had a personal experience with it.
Yeah, my stepdad was in for years.
Makes me understand why that failure probably hurt more than I think the most of the general audience would understand.
Well, especially because, like I said, I was in Marine Junior ROTC. Yeah. My freshman and sophomore year of high school, which are very impressionable times in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're into something at that point of your life, and then not only that, but you get structural reinforcement from your everyday establishments, i.e. your school and a, you know, ROTC instructor, in my case was Colonel Howe, who was like this, you know, hotshot, you know, pilot who, you know, was shooting down fucking bad guys over Iraq when I was shitting my pants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm, you know, I'm fucking
wide-eyed, wow, like,
fucking sip. I'm eating that shit up, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yes, this is amazing. I'm going to be a fucking force recon Marine. I'm going to fucking go behind enemy lines and da 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 da. And so, yeah, I was fully, you know, in my head, I was already in the Marines, bro.
Yeah.
Like, That was it. I was in. So, yeah, like, when I set out to finally do it, And you know, I didn't. That shit was like, man, well, fuck.
What else do I have?
Let me just go to college and figure it out. And, like, you know, like we said, at that point, my mind was just, you know, I was awash. So it was easy for anything to grab me and just, you know, let myself be taken away by it.
Yeah, and that's why I said it explains so much more to me, your mindset and who you are. And I almost feel terrible for coming at you for wanting you to be passionate about this show.
Good. Why?
Shut up.
No,
I don't feel bad about you.
Why would you feel bad about this?
You know why?
I can't blame my life and how I am. Like, that's not something that I'm like I'm hiding in the corner over and crying. Like, that hasn't impacted me to the point where I can't be criticized at all. Like, that's not, I mean, you know, don't, like, it's not like my mom got, you know, shot in front of me and I've been, what I'm saying is, like, it's not something you have to hold my hand over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it's not like, I've been over it for years at this point.
Okay.
It bothers me when I see it because it's just,
are you over it?
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Like, I'm over it to the point of beating myself up over it. But when I see, like I said, every time I see a Marine or meet a Marine, part of me in the back of my head is just like, ah, man.
That's crazy. You know what book you should read? Can't Hurt Me.
I'm reading it now.
It's amazing.
It pisses me off.
It's amazing, though.
It just makes me mad, though, because it just, like,
yeah,
it makes me feel like I quit all over again. And again, not that I beat myself up over it, but it makes me relive experiences and think, damn, maybe I should have just refused the sign.
And
or maybe I should have done this.
You
or
should
that.
Read that book too.
Okay.
Because a lot of my formulations around failure has came from that book.
Can't Hurt Me?
Yeah.
You know,
have you ever failed in your life?
Yeah.
JD's never failed. He's perfect.
Oh my God. I failed.
Look at that hairline. You think that guy's failed?
That hasn't failed.
You think that guy has failed?
No, it's interesting because, you know, I've been thinking about this. People won't know this, but we've been rolling, for like 4 hours.
I know.
But during those 4 hours, I was thinking about.
Don't say numbers.
This is about committing. We're going full speed
sure,
right now.
All right, I'm
you know what I mean? Full speed.
I was trying to commit to a specific big moment of failure for me. Hearing your and now hearing yours, Lowe's.
Yeah.
I have failed so many times. I'm just realizing that. Like, I failed in all aspects of relationships with women. Family, friends, work as well. And I continue to fail. I think what I'm realizing tonight is that I have an ability to erase that failure because I've already found the lessons in the failure and I'm keeping it moving. I don't know. I can give you this. And maybe this is the perfectionist in me, but I definitely feel like I failed as a father.
Oh,
whoa.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yo. This
all right, so.
You just killed both of ours? Like, so
I'm
now
not
we're
gonna
done?
Lie. Like,
we're done?
So, can I just say, like, in my head, when we walked down here to talk about what we failed at personally, part of me, something told me you were going to say this. And I'll tell you why I had that inkling.
Yeah.
Because I remember a while back that you mentioned you had a better relationship with your niece than you did your daughter. And it didn't make me think you were a bad dad or anything like that because I understand dynamics are different and all that. And I see the relationship that you have with your daughter to an extent. I don't know fully.
Sure.
But I know that you can't be like some absentee dad. Like
no,
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we were walking down here, I was like.
That would be the mic drop.
That's crazy. Like you just fucked. I know you just fucked us both up with that one, bro. Because even though in my head it was like something was like he might say that. Like there's no. I didn't think you were gonna say that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. Like people who
please,
who may think I'm like perfect. I promise you, I'm the furthest thing from it. But, and the reason why I say that is because I remember when I found out I was gonna be a father. I was 20 years old. And her mom at the time, my ex, was looking at me like, what the hell are we going to do? Like, almost like panic mode. We contemplated, I don't want to say that just in case, but in case my daughter's watching. But we contemplated some other alternatives.
Kanye
and,
moment.
But you didn't do it, so.
Obviously, yeah.
And that's.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that, like, even though you contemplated, I think that's very admirable that you would even share that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Every.
I was going to say, I think every 20-year-old that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that.
I was almost aborted.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, and her mom and I only knew each other for 5 months. Before she conceived. So there was a lot that went into this, right?
Yeah.
And so the point is that while I was going through this, I still had this shocking, unbelievable optimism. It like legit surprised me. Like I wake up like, how the hell are you this hyped to be a dad? Like, what are you going to do? You're broke as hell. Like we lived in an apartment. We had no appliances. We had a burner that you put on top of the counter that you plug in, a single
burner.
Hot
plate stove thing?
Hot plate stove.
Hot plates.
My sister gave
us,
in her basement, she has a mini bar, and it's just that, mini. That was our refrigerator. We had nothing. Nothing. And I was like, but I'm hyped to be a dad? So it didn't make sense to me. And I was always like, look, I don't know if there's a quote-unquote perfect time to be a father.
Right.
There's a better time financially because you can literally provide.
Right.
But outside of that, you could be Bill Gates could have a kid don't make him be a better dad than me, right? Sure. So I was that was my mindset going into it, and I have had for myself the highest standards is not even the word. It's a way above that of the father to my daughter that I want to be. It's heavily predicated on being the complete opposite of what my father was, but that's not saying much because he wasn't a dad at all.
Mm.
So that level, that bar is very low, right? Mm. And without going too much on a rant, I think...
No, please keep going, bro. Because like, okay. I'm over here getting choked up over here let me tell you, man.
I didn't think you were going to go here.
Let me tell you, bro. Let me tell you, dog. Just straight off top.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm fucking talking about, bro. These are the stories.
Yeah.
These real stories are the thing mm-hmm. that I believe, pun intended, people will relate to.
I appreciate it.
And I'm going to tell you, like, my dad, it's the exact same story.
In what? In
he had
aspect?
Me in high school.
Oh, yeah.
He had these ideas of who he wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was let down.
Yeah.
And arguably, he failed as a father in some aspects.
Yeah.
And so, the choke up that I had, when me and my dad got close, when he was able to look me in the face and say, I dropped the ball.
Mm.
Because he had this idea of what kind of father he wanted to be, he would put on the show. That was his. That's the type of father he was.
Yeah.
Which ended up making me hurt more.
Yeah.
And so the day we got close, and now we have a great relationship.
Yeah.
But the day we got close was the day where he was able to be like, I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Hey, that level of transparency and vulnerability, I commend him for that because I'm not only in that position with my daughter as her father, but with my father.
Mm.
Like if he ever came to me on some real ass shit, JD, I'm sorry, son.
Yeah.
You know, like I would lose it. Yeah. I would just lose it. And I think the reason why I say for me, for my daughter, you know, is like she's still young enough where I'm like, I'm on the treadmill going 90 miles per hour trying to hurry up to get to the level I know I could be as a father and where I know she deserves before she puts two and two together that I may not be there yet.
Right.
I'm trying to hurry up with it, and I just think that ultimately I think it's a matter of me. It's so interesting, Jay, because like here I am. I'm like processing as I speak. I think I have to take a page from your book as far as accepting some parts of failure as a father.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm a perfectionist in everything. You don't think I'm going to be a perfectionist, but a father?
Well, let me
like,
give you some words of encouragement. Yeah. So, for one, just being able to admit that that part is the
first step.
Biggest step. Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, your daughter had said something. And it wasn't to me, actually, now that I think about it. I just heard the story trickle. Shan told me. Somehow it got to Shan.
Mm.
Somehow it got to me.
Okay.
And it made me put together so much pain that I had gotten from my dad. It made me be able to understand it more.
Mm.
So when I think back to my earliest childhoods, my dad has all these memories with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these memories. I don't remember them.
Mm. I'm laughing because I completely relate to you there, man.
I don't. I can't remember them.
Yeah.
And
a lack of the memories of the fucked up shit, too.
And so Shay told Shan a story where she said something to your daughter like, well, your dad taught you how to ride a bike.
Mm.
And she was like, no, my stepdad did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shay was like, are you serious? I have a video of it.
Yeah.
Of you teaching her how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, oh, I guess I do remember it. But the issue was that she probably associated that memory with him because she saw him every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the same thing would happen with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure my dad was there. I'm sure my dad was there. But in my memory,
mm-hmm.
as a kid, everything that was formulated was with my stepdad.
yeah.
was with my earliest memories.
Right, right.
Because I lived with them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, it was an aha moment for me to be like, just because I don't remember my dad all the time doesn't mean he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I only say that just to be like, she may not get it right now, mm-hmm. but she will. She will.
Yeah. Well, I hope, because that did happen.
Yeah.
And this year, and it
And we don't have to leave it in there. We could edit.
No. Yeah. Let's leave it all in there. Yeah. No, it's all good. I remember where we were when she said that. It was her and I. Oh. It was just my daughter and I, and we were gonna do a live on my Instagram. Her and I, and I was like, "What do you want to talk about?" You know, and she was, you know, I'm asking like my creative director, yeah. but I was like, "Oh, I can help you. If you don't have anything, it's all good." Yeah. And I said, you know, we can do this. And one of the things I said, we can maybe end with some of your favorite memories of me. And she was like,
set yourself up.
She was like, oh, exactly. Yeah. She's like, oh, okay. And I was like, damn. You know, whatever you want. And she was like, okay. And I was like, well, and in my head, I was picking up what she was putting down. I'm like, well, what are some of your favorite memories, you know? And she had the most uncomfortable pregnant pause that I wish to God one day I forget, man, because I don't know how I didn't get emotional in front of her.
Yeah.
And I remember, we wrapped it up and I went to bed and I was laying next to Shay and I was like, I'm being erased from my daughter's life as we speak.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much time, it doesn't matter how much effort, it doesn't matter like anything. And it's tough because I'm like, I do everything I can to be the opposite of my pops. I do everything I can to be, I mean, this is my baby girl. This is my daughter. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm doing everything and it doesn't seem to matter. I know it does, but right now in the moment, as you can tell,
yeah.
It's heavy, man.
No,
it's heavy.
And I relate to your story, man. So heavily as her.
Yeah. And that's, so you give me hope.
Yeah.
Well, right?
Because you said that, I didn't talk to my father from age, I think like 6 to 18 maybe. Mm. Then like no communication basically.
Wow.
My mother remarried when I was 12 years old. And my stepdad, who I call my dad, did a amazing job of accepting me, raising me, you know, all that. But the reason I'm telling you this is because when I did finally talk to my father again after I graduated high school, I was angry. I was upset, bitter, all that shit. But I was more excited just to talk to my dad.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he wasn't around at all.
Yeah.
And not to say that you're doing the bare minimum, but even just showing up
right
makes a big fucking difference, bro. Huge difference. So
yeah,
don't discount what you are doing. Mm-hmm. And not to say that, you know, you're doing enough, like keep doing what you're doing, but like it makes a difference, man. She sees it more than you think she does.
Yeah,
as
I appreciate
a kid, like
what it's gonna come with is, and I know for me, my relationship with my dad came with so much understanding and empathy, especially when I reached the age where they had me.
Once I
reached that age, I was like,
total perspective.
You get different understanding,
circle.
Right? Yes. And not only that, but you've lived some life, you've had some relationships
exactly.
of your own.
Yeah.
And you get the hindsight that, you know what, maybe all the things that the people I was around growing up was telling me wasn't 100%
accurate.
Maybe
right.
some
yeah.
of it
right.
was true,
yeah.
but it truly takes two to tango.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes it's not exactly what we're told growing up. And I think to your point, when we get to that age of around the time they had us, your mid-20s, you start to see through the bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I've been telling Shay. You know, I've been saying that there's going to be a day where she, my daughter, hears what her mom is telling her and what's in that household. And then what the proof literally where Shay's like, your dad, JD,
I have a video.
Taught you how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
Watch this, right? Like, and all the memories that she will eventually one day put two and two together. But my point is that her mom's stories and the actual actions that happen won't match up.
Mm.
And I'm waiting for that day. But like I said, today,
today's not that day.
It's not that day, and it's tough. So that's why I say, I feel like in a lot of ways, many ways, I failed as a father to my daughter. Now,
yeah,
to piggyback off of that, the only thing that helps me sleep at night, I promise you, because I mean, I get choked up again the more I talk about it with my daughter. But the only thing that helps me sleep at night is I'm going to have more kids.
Mm.
And it's not to say I'm going to just push my daughter to the side. No, no, no. It's to say I have another chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have another chance mainly to be in the same household with my kids.
Yeah.
I've been craving this since I was 6 years old. I didn't have it growing up as a son to a single mother. I didn't have it with my daughter being from, you know, created a broken home. I will have that now, and it gets me by.
Mm-hmm.
It legit helps the time go by. It helps me not focus on this failure,
yeah.
Right? It's the light at the end of my tunnel, legit.
That is a loaded phrase.
It is, and it's going to get some...
Interesting. Not even some, that, but I think it's a loaded phrase because I think that my dad did that.
Yeah.
My mom did that.
Okay.
And as Adriana, because I am literally Adriana, mm-hmm. like I had that story.
Yeah.
It made me happy as I got older.
Yeah.
In that moment,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, well, I'm the problem child. They went and figured out new families.
So more context, yeah. My daughter's mom has an entire family now.
Yeah.
She's married. They have two more kids.
And yeah. Have you ever talked to Adriana about that?
All the time.
What does she feel? Does she feel any type of weirdness with it?
It goes over her head. She doesn't, you know, she's
know.
In a bubble.
Oh.
You know, they've created a bubble
yeah.
with her mind.
Yeah.
And as much time, I mean, even when I moved to LA, I never missed a month. And I went home every single month to see my daughter for a week.
Mm.
I actually got her the same amount of time moving to LA than I did while I was in Chicago. Exact same. It was just more consecutive as opposed to every other weekend.
Yeah. Right.
So 6-7 days a month was compiled into one long
yeah.
week. But we do have these conversations and it just doesn't really register to for everyone. She's 13, so it doesn't really register her yet. But
I think it does. I know when I was 13, I was putting that stuff together. I just didn't have the I didn't have the comfortability to have that conversation with my dad.
And so something that I fear for my daughter and I, our relationship is when I do have more kids.
Yeah.
I just fear she's going to be like, my dad loves his kids more.
Yeah.
But I'll have to have the conversation like, I tried to love you in every way possible. I just wasn't let in. I wasn't allowed to be let in.
I know.
I don't think that.
I think.
I'll say real quick. I wouldn't even say I tried. I'll just say I do. It's not.
Well,
you do. You. It's not that you tried and you haven't loved her.
Well,
you do love her.
That's good.
As much, if not more.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And if you say try, then that just leaves the door open for, well, then why didn't you?
Well,
you know
there's something to be said with being honest about it, because that's what made me and my dad's relationship closer, was him being able to be like, I tried. I just didn't have the answers.
But I don't think just what you're saying as far as loving her the same, you know, I don't think he's going to fail at that. I don't think that's going to be a try for JD. I think you will love her as much. I think you'll love all your children, all your children the
same.
Not saying that you'll be the same father to all of them.
Right.
I think that's where that comes in. But to say that you're worried that she's, you know, that you won't be able to, hold on, I'm missaying what you're saying. To say that you're worried that she'll be afraid that you didn't love her the same. I wouldn't tell her. My explanation of that would not be I tried, because that's a lie. You didn't try. You did.
Yeah.
Or you will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just
but
the father part.
I will say as that kid.
Yeah.
As that kid, what made me closer to my dad was him acknowledging that it wasn't displayed all the time.
Yeah. And that's fair, right? And that's
you
to
be,
the father part that I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
right, you
and,
know.
And you being able to explain like, hey, the child that I have with Shay has been lucky enough to be in the same household as where I live.
Yeah.
And be able to have that conversation is so huge. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Mm-hmm. And me and my dad could not get along until that was talked about.
Yeah.
Until that aspect was talked about of like, you know, there was a court order where I can only get you a certain amount of times.
Yeah.
So like understanding these type of things,
yeah,
understanding those things helped me process my upbringing,
yeah,
and made me have so much more empathy for my dad and to actually have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what I mean, Los.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is
that's what I, that's try, how I
try
it. Yeah.
Is like, right. I am restricted,
right,
in my abilities,
yeah,
you know, and I won't have that restriction with my future kids. And when my daughter sees that, I don't want her to be like, my dad loves me less. It's like,
no.
I legit.
Right. Okay.
I wanted this to be us.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted this to be you.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't. I wasn't allowed, or I was restricted, et cetera. So, and, you know, I think the biggest fear that I have for my daughter being, you know, the oddball out, for lack of a better term, because she has two siblings with her mom. She'll have one or two with her dad. And then there's her. She doesn't look like her other four siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, is that you, Los?
What do you mean? Uh-huh. Have you not seen my Instagram lately?
He saw what he got. He mean, looks completely different than all his little white friends.
That was me too.
All my white niece and nephew and my
that's me.
My fully white blonde hair, blue eye brother and sister.
That's me. My sister is blonde hair, hazel eyes, Irish, German, Italian, Polish.
Yep.
My other two brothers are darker than my black shirt.
Yep.
And then there's me.
Yeah.
So I know what my daughter's going to go through, and that's why but luckily I know what she's going to go through.
Yeah.
So I can be there for her to kind of guide, right? I mean, imagine, Los, if you had a child and they kind of went through that, you'd be like, hey, nope, you're talking to them. You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
You came to the right person.
Man, I wish I had somebody that would have been able to tell me, like, yo, like, you know.
Man, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that.
We all unpacked our dad issues.
Our
just
shit.
Now. Jesus.
But what I will say, bro, I am
a whole
literally.
Whole other episode of daddy issues.
I'm literally.
For men, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I first of all, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
That was huge. And, like I was saying, Lois, who he shared, I understand you more now.
Mm.
You know, I get it so much more. Mm. And, It makes me feel a little bit bad for for coming so hard at you guys.
We can handle it. Like I said,
maybe that's why this happened.
Yeah,
I don't think it is, but listen, I'm gonna put that out there. That way you can, you know, take that.
Yeah.
Take that as a thing. Just
take that.
It wouldn't have happened if you hadn't done
also
that.
Too for you, man. I literally grew up as Adriana.
Yeah.
And so if there's any questions or if there's any things, like, I can't tell you how to be a father. Like, I'm new, bro. You're way past that for me. I'm going to need your advice on that. But if you ever are wondering what she's thinking, I could probably tell you. I
appreciate that.
You're ever wondering what your 13-year-old daughter is thinking.
Why you got to put it like that?
Ask Jared Brady.
Why you got to put it like that? Why you got to put it like that?
Ask the oral guy.
I was going to say, you really want it?
No.
I really fucking
No. What I'm trying to say, you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say.
We can't just let you slide that easy.
I'm not saying that I had a 13-year-old girl mindset. I'm saying that I understand what it's like.
To be a 13-year-old girl.
No, fuck out of here. I understand what it's like to be the odd one out.
For sure.
I appreciate
that. I definitely will be coming to you for whether it's venting, words of wisdom, etc., both.
You can come to me for things too,
but
you know.
For sure. and that's
I can't tell you what it's like to be your daughter, but
that's not what I was trying to say.
But also I was gonna say, like, I appreciate you guys allowing me to get that off my chest.
I appreciate you for trusting us with that.
Not
only
huge,
trusting
bro.
Us but
yeah
trusting these
yeah.
folks these well, fine I mean, people at home
yeah I mean, what happens when we start to roll, I forget these are on.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this I was talking to you guys. There just happened to be thousands of people listening and watching, but that's, you know, maybe this is a message to our audience, like, there's plenty more where this came from. Like, we are capable of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they want more of it.
And this,
I think, the real.
What just happened on this round of recording?
4 hours later.
but we have to know what that feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just want to call attention to that because everything that I was saying earlier today is literally, this is what.
Yeah.
I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see it. I see it, bro. Mm-hmm. Because your life experience, your life experience, and the way that you are able to articulate and be vulnerable in those instances, and not all the time, you know, having to to give advice. It's more or less just like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
This is how I feel. This is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And those things are what people can't do.
Yeah.
People can't do that.
Yeah.
And you say it all the time, you know, until somebody else says it.
Mm. No one wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of having a podcast.
Yeah,
is that
for sure.
You have the ability to do that. You have the ability to do that. We have the ability to do that. And like, you know, I don't know, man. I fucking love that shit. And I honestly appreciate it. It's drawing us closer when you share things like that.
Yeah.
Vice versa with you, man. I never knew that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Nice. You know?
Yeah.
So, and it just puts it into perspective for me.
Good. And you feel like shit.
I do feel like shit. Yeah.
But I had the intervention tonight.
Oh.
What was that?
With my judgmental, trying to fix...
Well,
I learned a lot.
I learned a lot. Judgmental is a little harsh, I think.
Well,
no, but it's accurate.
Is it? I think it's more just a...
I don't think it was judgmental.
I don't think it's judgmental. I think it's just the need to fix instead of sometimes just...
Totally.
Just listen.
100%.
And I don't think it was judgmental because I didn't feel that from you. I felt it was more like...
You're trying to fix me. You're not trying to hear me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm talking for you.
No, but that's a good point. You're trying to fix me and you're not trying to hear me. And then I think when you didn't hear me, you didn't hear what I said. It was exactly what you're saying. And it's kind of like, okay, is this just, you know, am I just talking to the wall right now?
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
you sound like all my ex-girlfriend, but it's accurate. It's accurate. 100%.
Well, now you sound like his ex-girlfriend. And his
but the greatest part about this whole thing is that we have a third member, you know, we have a third member who is going to be able to really decide what happened. You know what I mean?
Third?
Well, Los?
I mean, a fourth member.
Zach Galifianakis graphics actually, swirling around my
head.
The Nick Young.
No, that's actually subconsciously what I really want. I really want Los to be like, get out of there. You got to mediate us.
Well, who's the
fourth member?
No, that's what I'm saying is I wish it was a joke.
It didn't land the way you
did
wanted.
Not land the way
like kind of exactly.
I'm not used to these, bro.
On that note,
hope you enjoyed the podcast.
I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast.